we have noticed through our experiences that it makes a huge difference in the child's progress if you take the time to build that rapport with them.
Welcome to the Sensory Project Show with Rachel and Jessica. We're here to share all things sensory, occupational therapy, parenting, self-care, and overall health and wellness from a therapist's perspective, providing raw, honest, fun ideas and strategies for parents and families to implement into daily life. Thank you so much for joining us. Oh, and we wanted to remind you guys that we have our membership site, the Sensory Project Club, and it is alive and thriving. We are sharing resources, handouts, templates, guides, how-to videos. Oh my word, we could go on and on because we are sharing all the things with our members. So if you want to become a member, just go to thesensoryprojectclub.com and get signed up. We cannot wait to see you guys in there.
Just a quick reminder before we get started. If you haven't listened to our interview with Alex Doman from Advanced Brain Technologies yet, you need to check it out ASAP. Because after we interviewed him, we teamed up with him and his team to bring you guys a special offer on any of their products, including the listening program. Just head over to our website, thesensoryproject.com/pages/podcast to get started today. And then you can use our code, thesensoryproject, for a discount on any of their programs. We're both certified providers and can help you experience the amazing benefits that come from ABT's programs.
All right, welcome back to the Sensory Project Show.
And we are gonna talk about why it is so important to create a relationship with the kid you're working with. Now, I think that this could also be good for some parents because oftentimes, it's a struggle to get along with our kids, You know what I mean? And so, I mean, this could be for parents too.
Parents and educators.
Absolutely.
Because a lot of times educators do not sign up to work with kiddos who might have different needs or they just aren't trained. So
yeah, aren't ready for it.
We are here to help you today.
Dun, dun, dun.
Okay.
So I was just telling Rachel before we started recording this that this episode is going to kind of go along with our episode about creating an experience with your child. So creating an experience, creating a relationship, those things are just going to, it's going to help you and it's going to help your kid thrive.
And think about this, you guys. We keep talking about these topics. There must be a reason why we keep bringing it up, right?
It's not just for shits and giggles.
No, it's because these things are so important. And we have noticed through our experiences that it makes a huge difference in the child's progress if you take the time to build that rapport with them.
Yes, and I'm glad you brought that up because, again, all of these things we talk about, it's because of what we've been through, and it's because of what we do on the regular that we find helps our families and helps the kids. So we're not just, like, making this up. We're not just
Googling.
We'd be so smart. We're not just Googling all these things. Like, these things are coming from us to you.
Yep. And it's important to remember, we were new grads.
Oh,
we
yeah.
started at the bottom. I started at the very bottom because I literally had no experience when I very first
started.
You didn't
even want kids to work with kids.
I didn't want to work with kids. And now here we are, and I am teaching you how to work with kids.
Boom. Okay, so why is it so important to create a relationship with the kid you're working with?
Okay, here you go. How motivated are you to work with or talk with someone that you don't like?
Not at all.
You're a bad person to ask for this because
I'm antisocial anyway, so I don't want to talk to anybody. But
no, you go into the situation knowing that you aren't going to enjoy it and it's going to be hard and you're not going to like it and it's just negative from the start, right?
Yes. Now, luckily, as adults, we can usually talk ourselves into these things, right? We can tell ourselves, yeah, I don't really like that person very much, or I don't really like the situation, but I know I need to do it, so I'm going to make it the best I can.
You got to fake it till you make it, right?
There you go.
So these children that we work with, all children for that matter, they don't have the same cognitive capabilities that we do.
Yeah, their brains are not fully developed, so they don't have the cognitive processing to do that.
So especially in our kiddos who have sensory processing challenges, or kiddos who are nonverbal, or those kiddos who are a little bit on the defiant side.
Yeah, these kids are going to go to therapy, and depending on the experience you create for them, depending on the relationship you build with them, that's going to determine if they want to keep coming or if it's going to be a fight.
Now, a little side note, they aren't always going to love coming to therapy.
No, and we talk about that a little bit later too, but yes,
I'm glad you bring that up. Can I share a story real quick?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So I started with this kiddo, and the kiddo did not want to play and was kicking, screaming, throwing, all the things. And I said to mom, you know, you can leave, you're okay. So we sat in the waiting room, and I just sat with the kiddo, and I was just there with them. And I told them that I was ready to play when they were ready to play. And this went on. We would eventually make it back to the treatment room, but this went on for probably 2 months. And the parent kept asking, you know, should I keep bringing them? Should we keep doing this? Should we keep trying? And I said, yep, it will happen. We just have to be consistent. And now, what is it, 10 months later, my kiddo tells their family that they love coming to therapy, they love playing, they look forward to it. It's a completely different kiddo. And I just like to share those experiences to know that maybe you're dealing with this right now, your kiddo is not loving therapy, or you're just starting with therapy, and just keep going. Be consistent.
Talk with your therapist. Let them know your concerns. You were talking about parents, right?
I was talking about parents.
Yeah. Talk with the therapist and just let them know your concerns, and let them know that you want to keep coming, because ultimately the therapy will be beneficial for your child, and that you want to let them know that it's hard.
How many times did you say that?
A lot.
Okay. Just checking.
Okay.
So this is why, as therapists, it is so imperative to build that relationship or that rapport with your clients.
Yes. The child should want to come to therapy. They should be excited to play. And you also want to build that relationship with the family or the caregiver of the child. Listen to their concerns. Ask their questions. Be open so you can provide them with a good experience as well.
Yes. Listen. Get it out.
Okay.
So, did you already say this?
Yes, I just said.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, sometimes I kind of like think about other things in my head, and I forget to listen.
Go ahead.
Okay. So, let's talk about how to build that relationship with a child who is nonverbal. This can really be one of the hardest relationships to build, because the child can't express their wants, their needs. They can't express how much they love you or how much they hate you. They can't tell you these things. So we have to be really in tune with their body language.
And yeah.
They have to be in tune with your body language.
And I think going along with the fact that they can't verbally communicate yet, they are going to express their dislikes in different ways. And this usually manifests with, you know, yelling, maybe some hitting and kicking, running away. So these are the kiddos that you have to really start with whatever it is that they enjoy. Mm-hmm. What does this child like to do?
Provide them with those preferred games and toys from the start, so they know when they come to therapy it's going to be a fun experience. They get to play cars that they don't have at home, and they're so excited about it because they're the coolest cars ever. And this is huge, because you have to have fun with them. Play is their occupation.
Yes, you want to laugh with them. You want to get that eye contact with them when you're having that good time, so that they can look in your eyes for a couple of seconds and see that you're smiling back at them. That's huge.
And to share in that joy together and that connection, and just stopping and thinking and enjoying that moment. You as the therapist, you as the parent, whoever you are listening, it's like they want to feel that happiness through you.
Yeah,
absolutely. And know that you share that same feeling together.
Yeah, absolutely. Because even
if they,
because they can't tell you any of this, but that's, I mean, that's just human nature. That's what we all want.
Yeah.
So, you know, these are the kids that it's going to be very child-led. Mm-hmm. You're going to follow the child's lead more often than they follow yours.
Yep.
Especially in the beginning. Because, and that's okay, because you can incorporate therapy into anything.
Anything.
Incorporate it into playing cars, playing with bubbles.
Yeah, so let's go through a little situation.
Okay, good.
Yeah, okay. So your kiddo chooses a very simple cause and effect toy, like a car racetrack, right?
Yep, yep.
And you provide those simple verbal cues, ready, set, go. And you kind of facilitate that. And you cheer and you clap and you tickle when the car goes.
And you do this over and over and over.
And then you begin incorporating your turn, my turn, or asking the child to make a choice between two different cars.
And this is typically where it gets more challenging, and you just have to be consistent. You have to help them maybe do some hand-over-hand assistance with this part, and then also start helping the child request more before you give them the car or before the car goes down the track again. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is different for every kid. Maybe they already know how to communicate more, or maybe they're just learning. Mm-hmm. So helping them to communicate in that way to do more.
Yep. And then you also are adjusting that praxis by completing these activities, you know, 3, 4, 5 times plus over and over again. And they build that ability to sequence and know first, then, and understand that concept. That's, it's hard to teach these kiddos. So when it's a preferred activity, it's so much more motivating. Yes. To learn these skills.
Now, I was also just thinking that going along with the car racetrack activity, right? You're a couple sessions in, you're really beginning to get that relationship going, and you're like, I want to get away from this preferred activity. I want to do more with this child. But what's going to happen is if you just take all of that stuff away, chances are they're going to have a negative reaction to that. Mm-hmm. They have a positive association with this activity, so let's keep it there, but let's start incorporating more. Let's start incorporating more turn-taking. Let's start incorporating more movement. Maybe they need to go get the car by crawling through the tunnel, and then maybe they need to roll over the therapy ball to put the car on the track. And they do that again, so it's a little obstacle course. But, you know, you're a couple of sessions in, you get a little bit more going with this preferred activity to continue building and fostering that relationship that you've built.
Boom.
I just went through that all in my head. I saw every piece of it.
I loved it. It was great.
And it's not always going to be perfect. It's not always going to work. They're not always going to want to do it. But that's okay.
It's therapy.
Yeah, that's why
it's hard.
Yeah, it's hard.
It's supposed to be a challenge, and they're supposed to, I mean, yeah, as therapists, we talk about that just right challenge and finding where to push them and not push them over the limit.
Yes.
So find that happy balance.
Yes. And then when they do get upset, help them to calm down and try again.
Yep. And we're not saying, stop crying, don't do that, you're okay. We're validating their feelings.
Yes.
And we're saying, man, I know you're upset. You really wanted that car.
Okay, I have to tell a story. Okay, so this is a story about a kiddo who has some words and is increasing their communication skills, but still has meltdowns and still has trouble with that communication piece. So this child was upset because they didn't get something that they wanted. And I was doing a first this, then this type of activity, and the child started screaming. Screaming, high-pitched screams, really loud.
Yep, and I heard it.
And, you know, I said, oh, you're really mad. And, you know, I ended up going and grabbing a couple of things that I know that has helped this child feel better in the past, and grabbed those and gave them some options, and they pushed all of them away. And I just kind of sat there and said, you're screaming really loud. And I'm talking really softly. And the child starts to kind of calm down. It was a couple minutes of screaming. I think maybe they were getting tired. But I said, oh, you're really mad. And the child says, no. And I said, are you happy? No, not happy. Oh. And I said, oh, then you're really mad. Let's take a break. And literally, it went from there. But this is something that I think is huge, is that you don't get mad at them because they're mad. Mm-mm. You don't raise your voice because they're raising your voice. You stay calm and neutral. You show them that you are a safe place, a safe mm-hmm. person, that as soon as they're ready, you're going to help them. I think that's huge.
I love that. And, you know, we were laughing with our supervisor afterwards about how, you know, if you put a therapist in a situation like that, we so often all go through the same things. Yeah. And it's just so funny to think about from an outsider's perspective what therapists say and how they say it and how they approach these situations and how we're all just... we're just so similar in that way.
It's yeah.
Just, it's fun.
I think it's good. I mean, it's what works.
Yeah.
You know? So.
As therapists, we believe that it's our job to use our therapeutic use of self, which is one of my favorite techniques.
Yep. And part of this means that we change how we interact with different children depending on their personality.
Mm-hmm.
This means getting down on their level, digging deep to find those enjoyable moments, and to identify the child's preferences to help them have a good time.
Yeah, and it's just so important to remember that we all have bad days, and we all have good days, which means the child that you're working with will not always have a good day, and they're not always going to be happy.
Nope.
And they're not always going to have a fantastic session,
nope.
No matter what you do.
That's true.
We don't necessarily want them to always have a fantastic session because it is therapy. And you're working on hard things.
Yeah, we are working on those real life things, those real life meltdowns and those real life challenges of not always getting what they want, but sometimes, and mm-hmm. so many things.
But if you have worked to create a relationship and build that trust and enjoyment in the process, then those hard days will be easier and easier, and the child will allow you to help them through those hard moments more often than not.
Yes. And I think this also goes along with it of some of our older kids oftentimes don't want to come to therapy.
Mm-hmm.
Some of our older kids who, I mean, there's just so many different reasons why the child might not want to be in therapy.
Yeah.
And so they can be very...
Very stubborn,
very...
standoffish.
Oh, yeah, all the words.
Just finishing your sentence.
Yes,
go ahead. Finish your own sentence.
I can't, because yours are better. So, you know, these are the kids that might be a little bit more challenging because they're older, so you have to, you know, change your approach. They don't want to be there because they think it's dumb or they're embarrassed. So you really have to find ways to connect with those kids, and oftentimes just asking them what they want to do. Like, what do you like? What music do you like? Let's listen to some of your music. Let's play a game that you really enjoy. Let's make it fun and interesting for them.
And then work your therapy tools into those preferred activities and make it more challenging. Grade the activity so it meets their goals and be creative.
And again, these are the kids who... you show them that you want to have a good time with them, and after a while, you're going to be able to challenge them more and more.
We have some therapy hacks that we want to share with you, and we just have some simple products that we go to that's like our goodie bag for maybe kiddos who we struggle to connect with, or kiddos that we really want to build that rapport with. We have a little goodie bag that we pull out, and we will link some of these things.
Yes.
In our show notes.
Absolutely. So, first one, sour spray.
Sour spray is a good one.
It's great.
Most kids love sour spray, and the ones that don't, we get to build a relationship by trying it together.
Over and over.
Yeah, and overcoming our fears. Do yes. try it.
Yes.
And then another one is the zones of regulation. So those self-awareness, emotional regulation tools, those are really helpful.
Yes. Items that vibrate. So vibrating stuffed animals, the different back massagers from like Bed Bath & Beyond, those ones that vibrate. All of those toys that have that vibration to them can be super fun to do lots of different activities with.
Yep, and then light up toys and spinning toys, those are very calming and organizing to a lot of our kiddos, and it's kind of like a little reward. They get to watch those things spin and turn on and mesmerize them.
Fidgets. Mm-hmm. All our kids love our fidget spinners, so we break out those fidget spinners and all is good in the world.
I love the fidget spinners. I think the ones that we have at the clinic are mine.
Except for the ones from ARC Therapeutic. We do have
a couple of
fidget spinners from ARC Therapeutic. But yes, the rest are Rachel's.
I'm just a big sensory kiddo. Squishy balls. So we got the squishy ball from Walgreens, all places.
It's like a big rubber air-filled ball.
Yeah, and it lights up too. And the kids hug it kind of like pops or blows a bubble. I don't even know how you describe it.
I had a kid laying on it the other day.
I don't know what it is, but they all are obsessed with it.
That ball's the best. We should have gotten like five.
We should have.
Okay, so throwing things to knock toys over. So maybe you build a tower and now you knock it over. And that is the best thing in the world, is to knock a tower over.
So satisfying.
It is.
And then giant sensory bins are too much fun.
So getting like, instead of just having like a small container of rice, you get the big huge container and you dump some rice in there.
Yep. Currently we have a giant container of oobleck in our clinic. And kids are putting their feet in there, their hands in there, they're throwing it on the floor like pancakes.
Yep.
All the things.
It's all good. And then this one we just discovered. Lick a bubble. Mm-hmm. I'd never heard of this before.
One of my kiddos kept saying, lick a bubble. Lick a bubble. Can I do lick a bubble? Oh, gosh. Why are you saying that so funny? It just makes me so happy.
So these are like bubbles that you add juice to?
I think so.
Yeah. And you blow the bubbles and you can catch them on your tongue. So different and novel and fun. And then just regular bubbles.
Yep, those are great too. All right, you guys, that is it for today. We hope that this episode really sits with you. And we just really like talking about this stuff.
We do. We love all the kids we work with.
We do.
All the amazing stories. And we just want to help you guys to be able to give these kids everything to help them be successful.
Yeah.
And creating relationships is huge. And experiences.
It's all good.
All good in hood.
We have the best job ever. This is true.
Okay, thanks for being here.
And we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
So excited to work together and to help create confident kids all over the world and work towards a happier, healthier life. This is general information related to occupational therapy, pediatrics, sensory integration, and overall health and wellness. We do not know you or your child, therefore, we do not know any specific needs, therefore, you should always refer back to your pediatrician and occupational therapist.